Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
In the world of young adult literature, the judges of moral decency live on Twitter. Opinion havers with large followings render their verdicts on YA fiction, sometimes before they've even read the book. And in some cases, they create mini firestorms, shaming authors who've been deemed offensive and reinforcing the code by turning their Twitter feeds against anyone who would disagree. Kat Rosenfield, who is a Vulture contributor at New York Magazine and is herself a YA novelist, wrote about this phenomenon in an article titled "The Toxic Drama on YA Twitter." We'll delve into this subculture of enforced fandom with her and consider whether or not these criticisms have some merit. Welcome to WNYC, Kat.
Thanks for having me.
Really basic question for you. What is YA literature and who reads it?
It's hard to describe because it's not really a genre in and of itself. It's basically young adult literature is any book in any genre that has a protagonist who is a teenager and usually still in high school, although that's there's room to kind of, you know, mess with that these days. And it's read by teens and young adults. But I think it's, you know, pretty widely accepted at this point that they're not the only ones who read it. There's a big adult following for YA as well.
Is the adult following possibly even larger than the teen following?
It may be. I couldn't say, but it certainly seems like they're well represented.
Uh-huh. And the themes of YA literature, I would imagine, would be sexuality, growing up, drinking, all the kinds of things that you learn when you're a teenager?
Sure. Yeah. You know, the whole teen experience is encapsulated there. But of course, you know, it's not exclusively real world stuff like that. The Hunger Games is a YA novel, which, you know, it's, of course, something that none of us has hopefully ever experienced. So, you know, there's, you know, anything that exists in an adult book exists in a YA book. Really, it's just a question of how old the main characters are.
Listeners, if you read young adult literature, or maybe you're a young adult yourself, how do you deal with controversial material that you read or hear about in those books? Will you pick up a book that's been called offensive? And what's the responsible way to criticize a YA book for its content? Please give us a call. The number is 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. You can always tweet at us, at Brian Lehrer. And Kat, you zoom in on one particular firestorm that kind of brewed around the novel The Black Witch by Lori Forrest. What is the plot of her book, and how did this particular book become a lightning rod?
So The Black Witch centers on a girl named Lauren, who's, I think, 17 years old, and it's a fantasy. So she lives in a very stratified society it's like a strict caste system based on both religious and racial sects. And, you know, that means there are Selkies, there are werewolves, there are fairies. And she has been thoroughly indoctrinated into the idea that her race is the superior race and that the other ones are not to be trusted, that they're enemies. But when she goes to school, which is sort of like a wizarding university, she starts to learn and live alongside people who are not like her and starts to realize that what she's been taught her whole life has been a lie. So that was the basic premise. And the reason that, initially the book was being quite well received. The trades were giving it good reviews. It was being buzzed about as a real dismantling of bigotry and prejudice with a great message of love and tolerance. But one blogger disagreed. And she felt that Lori Forrest, the author, in attempting to write about a girl overcoming bigotry and prejudice, had failed so completely that she was more or less endorsing these things. And because the author was a debut author without a great social media presence and no fan base to really push back against this kind of thing, this controversy in particular was able to spread without really any opposing voices on Twitter.
The criticism being that this racially stratified society that she describes is is what? Is just like gross? Is not something that, that young people should be reading about or imagining?
The suggestion, I guess, was that marginalized people, marginalized teens reading this would find it hurtful. I mean, it was not, you know, an unrestrained, I mean, rather it was an unrestrained kind of call out in terms of the way that the 9,000 word review written by this blogger to denounce the book called it the most dangerous, offensive book she'd ever read.
And this all happened in the pre-release phase of the book, or as the book was just coming to market?
It kicked off about 6 or 7 weeks ahead of the release date, and it really continued at sort of top volume all the way up until the book's release.
This is a whole segment of Twitter that you might be ignorant of if you're not plugged into the YA world. But I suppose if you are plugged into the YA world, you write that this is becoming kind of a familiar phenomenon. What are you seeing?
I mean, in terms of the sort of ubiquity of call-out culture, one of the interesting things that I learned after the piece was published is that this is not at all unique to the YA sphere. You know, it's something about the way we talk to each other online and sort of lack of nuance in these conversations is, you know, it's true of YA, but it's true of other fandoms and other creative communities on Twitter as well.
So before this segment, I actually emailed with a friend who is a successful, well-reviewed YA author to get his thoughts. He didn't want me to use his name, but he did point me to his Goodreads page for one of his more recent books, which happened to have a lot of frank talk about sex. And honestly, I was astonished to see some of these user reviews. It looked like the worst kind of Twitter storm. Lots of outraged GIFs, all caps rants, the word sexist hurled around. This is on Goodreads, which is a site that I use to review books, where everything is, you know, very staid and sort of NPR kind of civilized discussion. It was kind of astonishing to me to see what felt like kind of a coordinated mob. And my friend wrote to me, it's really horrible and is a big part of the reason for my semi-retirement. So I'm wondering, you write YA as well. What's the conversation like among YA novelists? Like, do you feel that you can even write a book that has frank themes?
You know, I have not published a novel in several years, but I spoke to a lot of authors for this piece, and there was definitely a sense of fear. There was a sense of being unable to do it right, no matter how hard you tried. You know, that somebody was, you know, there was always this possibility that someone was going to find fault with you, whether it was justified, whether it was legitimate or not, and that you would be dragged horribly on Twitter. And, you know, it doesn't necessarily even tie into whether or not you're writing about a controversial theme. You know, in the case of The Black Witch, Lori Forrest was clearly intending to, you know, send a message that racism and bigotry and prejudice are bad. And even she got absolutely, you know, mercilessly dragged.
We do have some space for phone calls, so please give us a ring at 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. We have time for a phone call right now from Parker on the Lower East Side. Parker, you're on WNYC.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you doing? What's your comment or question?
Well, just this segment made me think of this YA book that I got for like my birthday recently from my friend. It's called I Would Do Anything for Love by this writer, Al Bedell. And I just think it's really relevant for teens to read now because it's kind of like a new teen classic. Like, it's like about this high school freshman who's like navigating boys and like friends and sleepovers. It's kind of like Judy Blume almost, but like with a twist, like way more contemporary. So it just seemed like something relevant to the conversation.
Parker, can you hang on for a little bit? Because we're going to go to a break in a second, but I want to ask what your take is on all the social media controversies that seem to be popping up around a lot of YA novels, because I think there's an interesting question about whether younger people care. And I gather you're 16, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, can you hang on till after the break?
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, great. So hang on there. We'll be right back with Parker and also with Kat Rosenfield, who is a Vulture contributor at New York Magazine. I'm Ilya Meritz on WNYC, in for Brian Lehrer. Ilya Meritz on WNYC, in for Brian Lehrer. We are talking about young adult literature, when it crosses the line, and how to make intelligent criticism of books that you may disagree with. We have Kat Rosenfield here. She's a Vulture contributor at New York Magazine. She wrote a story titled The Toxic Drama on YA Twitter. Before the break, we were also talking with Parker on the Lower East Side, who is 16 and reads a lot of YA literature. Parker, I wonder, have you been a part of or a witness to any of these kind of Twitter controversies that we've been talking about?
Yeah, I mean, I'm on Twitter a lot. Like, I read it all day because, you know, it's, like, the summer, like, so I'm just, like, on my phone reading it. But this, like, the book that I mentioned earlier, I think the press that put it out, like, found the author through Twitter. And that's kind of what I think a lot of, like, publishing companies, like, especially YA publishing companies are doing now, because people kind of put all their life out there. And, like, if you're going to be a writer these days, like, that's kind of where people are looking now. It's like the future.
And Parker, have you ever participated in any, like I know some books do tend to attract a lot of criticism. Like, when you see that happen, do you pile on? Do you talk back? Do you just sort of watch it happen?
I just kind of watch it happen, but I feel like everyone's so engaged right now, especially young people more than ever. Like, everyone my age is like way more aware and like, of the world, and way more calling out culture, which I think is good, because like older generations are not doing that. So I'm like really proud to be part of this generation. I think this book that I mentioned, like, it deals with issues of like rape and like the uncomfortable nature of sexuality that like a lot of YA books like don't want to talk about. So that's why like I thought this book was a good example, because it kind of like changed how I thought about sexuality, or like wanted to read about my own sexuality.
Kat, do you have any questions for Parker?
Not off the top of my head, no.
All right, that's fine. Parker, thanks for your call. Let's go to another caller. We have Rob on the line in Montville. Rob, you're on WNYC. Rob, are you there? Okay. I think we have Rob now.
Hello?
Hi. Rob, Hi. You're on WNYC.
Thank you for taking my call. I have a question about 13 Reasons Why, and what happens when a lot of this young adult literature is turned into a visual representation of that content. Because in college, there was a lot of controversy when the series came out on Netflix, and I've read some things about, you know, searches in Google increasing about depression and ways to commit suicide. So I'm curious as to, you know, I mean, I have stronger connection to actual literature rather than what I see on Netflix, but I'm curious as to how controversies over young adult literature, you know, do change once a series or a movie comes out about, you know, the book.
Rob, thanks for your call. Kat?
You know, it's interesting to talk about 13 Reasons Why, because that book was controversial at the time of its release, which I think was 10 years ago or something like that. And then that same controversy was sort of refreshed and rebooted in a slightly different form when the TV series was released. But it centered on the same thing, you know, is this romanticizing suicide? Is this going to encourage teens to commit suicide? And I feel like that's something that's been almost a recurrent concern for as long as that's been a topic that young adult fiction tackles.
Rob, thanks for your call. And let's go to another caller. We have Anne on the line in Greenwich, Connecticut. Anne, you are on WNYC. What's your question?
Hi there. I am an older person who has never actually even used Twitter.
Congratulations.
But I have read some young adult novels, and I think some of them are excellent. I don't understand why an author wouldn't just ignore the Twitter storm and continue to write books which either do or do not continue to sell. And I don't understand why it affects, or why the authors allow it to affect them so much.
Kat?
You know, in the case of The Black Witch, the author did, I think, wisely not respond. I think she sensed that it was a conversation that, you know, it would not be useful or productive for her to be involved in. But in terms of why it affects authors, the tone of these conversations is quite personal. It's, you know, it's not just, oh, you wrote a book that offended me. It's you wrote a book that is going to damage and promote emotional and physical violence against marginalized children. And it's hard, I mean, not to take that personally, I think, for a lot of people.
Kat, I wonder, and Anne, thanks for your call. I wonder if you see the same phenomenon playing out in the adult book industry. Like, I'm sort of asking myself, like, what if Lolita had come out in the age of Twitter or any of Philip Roth's books? Would the Twitter sphere have been able to handle it? Or might those authors have felt some trepidation about putting out their books?
Yeah, in all honesty, I can't imagine Lolita being released now. It's certainly he would have come in for a lot of criticism and a lot of ugly personal allegations.
Let's take another caller. Jeannie is on the line in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Hi, Jeannie.
Hi, it's Jamie with an M, like Mary. Jamie.
Oh, Jamie. Sorry about that.
Yep. That's okay. So I write, I'm an adult who writes and reads YA literature, and I think that the part of the conversation that's being missed right now is how homogeneous the publishing industry is. So there's no one in the industry seems to be catching these fairly large mistakes, which can be damaging to young readers. I mean, I think it's disingenuous to say, oh my gosh, someone said this book might hurt someone. Well, it might actually hurt someone. And so as long as the industry stays as homogeneous as it is, it's left up to the tweeters and the readers to be pointing these issues out. And I think that's the larger issue that should be addressed.
When you say homogeneous, do you mean, I'm assuming,
white,
like middle class white?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And how do you see that? Can you give an example of like a book that maybe unwittingly would have put out a message that was you don't have to call out the book, but like a scene or a subject?
I don't think it's helpful to call out any particular writer. I'm not going to be the one to do that. But what I am going to say is there are studies that have been done, that there's data that's available that shows how white the industry is. And when white writers try to take on the issues of racism, or when straight writers try to take on the issues of LGBT issues, like, there are voices that are being silenced in favor of white writers who often have an easier time getting agents and getting published.
But I'm still, can you give me like an example of the kind of thing that a white writer editor might unwittingly like allow to be in a book that could be hurtful, but they might not know?
I think the conversation about the Black Witch is very apt. I have not read the book. I have followed the conversation, and I read Kat's article. It's been passed around quite a bit. I think the idea is lots of these things are happening. There are people who can be employed as sensitivity readers. Lots of time, marginalized communities are asked to do sensitivity reads without compensation, and that I don't believe that is fair either. But there are people who are trying to make the industry more diverse. There are people trying to make the industry safer, but not all publishing houses and not all agencies have an eye towards that. So there are wonderful organizations like We Need Diverse Books and Own Voices that are promoting writers of color, writers of all sexual orientation, writers of all gender expression, and are really trying to get their voices heard, because unless the voices of the people that are actually experiencing these issues are heard, there's going to be a lens that might not be so helpful.
Kat Rosenfield, your thoughts? And Jamie, thanks for the call.
You know, it's interesting. I think that what Jamie is speaking to is two separate issues, one of which is the fact that, yes, publishing is a very homogenous industry. It's very white. And that's something that does need to be fixed in terms of, you know, you want more and different kinds of people in-house, letting more and different kinds of authors through the door. And that's something that I think is going to have to happen really at a base level. And then the second issue is critiquing books individually through the lens of diversity. And I think that's where, you know, the things like The Black Witch sort of illustrate the potential limitations of that and raise questions about whether it's the most productive way to engage with literature, whether it's actually having the kind of positive systemic institutional effect on the publishing industry that people seem to want to individually call out and, you know, shame writers or in some cases shame readers because one particular book wasn't written the way certain people would have preferred it was.
It seems like this might be kind of a new idea that books should be scrutinized for the potential effect that they could have on a reader. I don't know if you were in the YA scene 10 or 15 years ago, but would a YA author at the time have recognized that impulse, or would that conversation have been happening?
You know, I think that, you know, whether the question of whether YA is, you know, is too dark or too upsetting is something that has come up frequently. And this is sort of a new wrinkle on that conversation that's very focused specifically on marginalized readers. But I'm inclined to say that the same response that concerns over, you know, books being too dark or too sexy or too gay got, you know, back in, you know, the late 90s and the early 2000s is the same one that's probably deserved here, which is that teens are more resilient than anybody gives them credit for. And they're capable of encountering an upsetting idea or an invalidating idea in a book and not being permanently damaged by it. I think, you know, it's important to give them the credit, you know, that they can engage critically with a work, even one that they disagree with, and walk away unharmed.
All right, we have to leave it there. My guest has been Kat Rosenfield, a contributor to Vulture on New York Magazine's website. The article is titled "The Toxic Drama on YA Twitter." Thanks a lot for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
I'm Ilya Meritz, filling in for Brian Lehrer. Thanks very much for your calls and for listening.